get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna pull one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hartman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome in to Sports Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, YouTube and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher the third, and across the faux marble table is Rashawn Taylor.
What up, though? Don't like that one. Got to try something else.
we're workshopping
immediately. So I'm going to try something new every morning until I find the one that sticks. That one wasn't it. I thought it would be good. It just didn't. I don't like it on the way up.
Across the glass, Jordan Schultz. See, he went with Schultzy. He was able to workshop that real quick.
Well, that figured out. Well, what's up, sports fans, is mine, but it doesn't fit here. So,
well, everybody here goes by their last name too. Have we noticed that?
A Fish, yeah. Schultzy.
I mean, with the exception of Dusty and you know Sprague.
I do a Joe Dirt, Fish.
Do you? Know, yeah. You know, Rop, Suk. You know, Swag. Everybody here kind of goes by a last name. So
I did get called. I did get called Fish in like football and you know high school.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Fish, get over here.
It's better than fishy.
Fish, you blew coverage again.
Well, fishy, you blew coverage again. Imagine how emasculating that would have been.
Absolutely not. I'm not going fishy. Actually, I never liked to be called Joey growing up because I felt like it was very just like, oh, Joey.
Immature.
He's a little 8-year-old Joey.
But now my son goes by Joey strictly. Like that is his, that's how what he goes by. Which
I'm trying to think of some cool Joeys.
Fatone?
Joey Fatone is one. Yeah.
Joey Gallo? Ha, kidding.
Joey Galloway?
Okay.
That's a good one. Joey Gallo, I love it. Yeah.
Joey Galloway?
Okay, it's two. Joey Lawrence?
I mean...
He's a cool one. He's on Blossom, I guess.
Yeah, who are some of the...
Joey Lawrence?
Coolest Joeys.
Didn't he just get divorced like a year ago?
Did he?
Cheated
the
on his
fact
wife?
That you even know what's going on with Joey Lawrence, I mean...
Well, you know me. I keep up with anything Lawrence
How about
brothers.
This? Well, how about this as far as Lawrence related? So... Matthew is
the
middle
dead?
One? No, is married to Chili from TLC?
Oh yeah,
Flex.
That is a very late '90s, early 2000s esque relationship, right?
Yeah,
there.
Dated Topanga.
Yeah,
everybody wanted to date Topanga back in the day. Good
Topanga's
for
a one seed, man.
What about just simply Joey from Friends?
Joey from Friends might be the most famous Joey,
but he's
probably the most
his,
famous Joey.
That's not even his real name.
No, it's not. I'm sure people just see him on the streets and call him
Matt.
Joey. Which, how irritating would that be? Just think about it. If you're a famous TV star, and that's really kind of some of the only thing that you've done, you know, throughout your career, there are a lot of people that probably don't know your real name.
I don't know if I got paid.
Recognize you from the show. Hey, you.
100+ million bucks a year would make that feel a hell of a lot better. Because they get a lot of royalties still pouring in.
Well, would you rather be known as the, what's the word, titular actor? Like the name of the person you played, or hey, you're that one guy, you know, because there's always like there's many actors and actresses out there where you don't know their actual name and you've seen them play different roles in different
things.
Movies.
Yeah, character actors.
Yeah, but again, you don't know who their name is.
What's my man from?
who's that
from
guy?
I want to say it's on Breaking Bad, and he's the black guy, like Juan Carlo.
You're close. hey, you're that one guy.
Listen,
I'm trying to remember. Is it some Esposito?
Yeah,
or?
Listen, I've seen him in things since I was a young kid. I watched him in School Days that came out in like 1988 or 89.
He's in
something like that.
Giancarlo Esposito.
He was just in Captain America, and I've been watching this man.
He's also in
almost 40 years. Yeah, in The Boys. I've been watching this man for almost 40 years, and I
40 years
almost. Almost. Seriously. Like, he's been in stuff dating back. He's in, how about this? He's in Trading Places. When Eddie Murphy is in jail at the, like, towards the beginning of Trading Places, he's one of the people in the cell.
He's in Do the Right Thing also.
He's in Do the Right Thing.
First time I've ever seen this guy in my life was Breaking Bad.
Man, he's been around forever, and I still have never known that gentleman's name.
I knew his last name, so I'll take that as
a win.
If I saw him on the street, I would probably been like, "Hey, Mr. Esposito," because I did not know his name was Giancarlo.
That's a win. Like I said, you can look at his IMDb and like, man, this dude has been in everything, and I can never remember his name.
When I think of character actors,
Last Holiday,
I think of wow, that's a good throwback.
It was a solid movie.
Well, Queen Latifah.
Yeah, solid movie.
Skiing. Yeah. Sure. when I think of like character actors, I think of people that are maybe lesser known, but like you will recognize them. And I feel like Esposito, he's been that prominent character in Breaking Bad. He's been in video games
too.
He's been
in everything.
He was in like Far Cry 5 or 6 as like a character. So I think of, you guys remember in Meet the Parents, it was the parent of like one of the brothers or sisters, like, it was their spouse.
Yeah.
Like that, they were like a doctor or something.
Yeah, Dr. Bob.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. That's the kind of guy that I think of as the character actor. His name is James Rebhorn, I think is how you say his name. And he was in everything from, I mean, Basic Instinct to like all the way up to Meet the Parents. Like that's the kind of guy I think of as a character actor. Yeah. So. Dr. Bob.
Yeah, James Rebhorner. That's Dr. Larry. That's Dr. Bob's dad.
Dr. Larry, excuse me.
Thank you. That's the my bad. Dr. Yeah. Bob. MD.
So again, would you rather be known? I think I would go with, I'd rather be like, hey, it's blah blah blah, like referred to as the show character.
Yeah, at least they know you watch the show, but you don't watch enough to read the credits.
Hey,
so.
what's your name?
You're Snap Finger famous. You're the guy. What's his name? Famous.
That's the perfect level of anonymity, right? You can still walk into a coffee shop, but then there are some days where somebody that's a fan of the show or movie will recognize you, but not all the time.
Yeah.
Pretty good life.
I don't know. I guess I'd want to be that guy, but, you know, I don't know.
Which pays more? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's pretty much end of the day. Like, what prominent show am I on?
Yeah, I want those royalty checks.
Yeah, for real.
Rather than, and this is where it makes me wonder, like, you know, some of those actors, as you mentioned, like a James Rebhorn. Like, I can't imagine he's getting big paychecks
His...
was getting big paychecks for his roles. I mean...
Yeah, that's the kind of... Gosh, what's, like, the day rate for SAG? It's, like, $2,000, maybe $3,000. So, like, if you're shooting for a week on a movie,
He was in Blank Check. I think he was his dad.
He was the dad in Blank Check?
Yeah.
He was Preston's dad?
I believe that little pervert.
Mm-hmm. Got to kiss a grown woman in that movie.
That movie is all the way wrong. I watched it again.
There's so many things
I watched
wrong
it again
it.
Like maybe a month and a half ago. You know, Disney Plus. Shout out to Disney Plus for having all the old school jams
on
there.
What's Preston Waters up to nowadays?
Oh, I thought he was...
Oh, a lot of neck tattoos. That's for sure.
I don't know. What happens to young kids when they get a lot of money early? A lot of neck tattoos, like you said.
Well, I wouldn't consider that a lot of money, but it was definitely some money.
He got $1 million and a blank check, man.
Do you think someone recognizes him at his age now? Like,
no.
Dude,
you know
who you look? You look like an older version of that kid in Blank Check.
Have you ever seen? Yeah. No, I don't know. What's that kid look like now?
That movie, man.
Oh, yeah. That's one of those movies that you remember from your childhood, and then you watch 20, 25 years later, and
this is not cool.
That older
woman was coming on to him. Like, I don't care what anybody says. Watch again. She was giving him signs that she was with it.
Karen Duffy.
Oh, well, she was a hottie. Still is, actually. And the banker in that movie is an idiot for handing any amount of money to a kid that comes in with a check, especially one for $1 million.
Tone Loke in that movie?
What?
Tone Loke. Yeah, he was. He was one of the gangsters.
Oh, wow. I forgot that.
Juice was his name.
Yes, he was the guy that was supposed to pick up the money, and then he said, no thanks, I'm not thirsty. Preston did in response, and he's like, oh, this kid's just playing it cool, huh? Okay, I'm giving him $1 million.
What a great movie. I
still quote that movie quite often. There's one particular line from that movie. It's when the incident happens where Preston gets hit by the car and his bike run over and the guy's writing his check. And then there's that one other kid in the parking lot just heckling and just won't shut the hell up. And he goes, I think this guy's been drinking vodka to the dude who hits Preston. And I reference that all the time when someone doesn't know what the hell they're talking about and just possibly sounds drunk. I just hit him with that line.
I don't know if I remember any lines from that movie. That's the only one I remember. Yeah.
Because we would say it all the time in my family growing up. Like, if my dad was doing something stupid or my sister or me, possibly. So I think this guy's been drinking vodka. Yeah. Blank check.
Yeah.
There's like four character actors in this movie, too. Yeah,
Michael Lerner.
Yes, Michael.
Once you see the picture of that guy, you're like, Michael Lerner. Yeah, it's that guy.
Yeah, he was the guy. No, he was like this and that. No, Michael Lerner, the best known character of him, probably the overbearing boss and Elf.
I was going to say the douchey boss and Elf.
Yeah, exactly. And then another one, Rick Ducommun, if I'm saying that correctly. He was in Groundhog Day. He was in Die Hard. Like the guy that was popping up out of the pothole, being like, hey, we got a problem down in Nakatomi Plaza. Like that. This guy's in Blank Check. I mean, it's full of character.
He was also an MVP, Most Valuable Primate.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's a throwback.
Forgot to see that one.
How about that? Yeah, that was, they were trying to clearly... ride the coattails of Air Bud there, you know, came out year 2000.
Air Bud was a monster, but, you know, Bingo had to walk for Air Bud to fly, you know.
Was Bingo the monkey's name? Or?
No, Bingo was the first dog.
Was his name-o?
Yeah, he was the first dog that was amazing, you know, well, sans Lassie, but, you know, he was the first awesome dog that could do everything and could skateboard and could
Bingo?
Save the day.
Who the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, see? Exactly. You don't know about Bingo. And then Air Bud came out because we saw, oh, people really like dogs.
Because he could get buckets. I mean,
he could get buckets, but I mean, so could Bingo.
The one line I remember from Air Bud is, there's nothing in the rule book that says a dog can't play basketball, that fat ref. It's like, no, we're not going to allow this.
Air Bud was out there killing.
They decided to. Well, because nobody was able to guard him. Nobody actually went up to think, oh, hey, I'm going to block this shot while it's being set up for the 2.5, 3 seconds.
If we're at the park and Air Bud is there and I could pick between him or Sidney Dean or Billy Holt from White Man Can't Jump, let's go, Air Bud.
There's a great TikTok.
You're on my team.
Of a guy sitting in his car, and he's acting like the dad of a kid who just lost to Air Bud. And he's just sitting in the car, and he's just like, you gave up 28 points to a golden retriever. He was really good. He was a dog.
Yeah. Out there killing. I mean, layups, you know, fillet. Like, he was out there. Air Bud was really giving them business. He was really doing that out there.
I got to go find that.
Seriously,
it's so great.
When we talk about all-time, just based on stats, when you talk about all-time great fictional characters, Air Bud's got to be right up there, man. He was really getting buckets on fools.
Yeah, and then they did the football movie after that?
They did a bunch.
I think I recall.
And then he made All-State there.
Yeah, football was stupid. That movie was dumb.
Wow, they did. Yeah, they did a soccer one.
I think they did a soccer one. They did a soccer one.
They did a baseball one.
Might have been wrestling in there.
So how does he hold a bat? Does he just always bunt, or is he a pinch runner?
That's with his tail.
How does that work?
Hits with his tail.
That's with his tail.
He hits with his tail. Thank you, Rashad. You know what? I didn't even think of that.
Air Bud, golden retriever. Golden receiver. Air Bud, world pup.
No. No.
Get it?
Yeah, World Cup.
Air Bud, seventh inning fetch.
Yep, that's
those
about always
those cheeky bastards fun. In the creative writing
it's not
room.
Fair. He's got four legs, man.
Air Bud spikes back. That was a volleyball one.
Air Bud's playing volleyball now?
This is a great opportunity to say
it's like
direct.
Ernest.
The direct-to-TV movie sequel market hopefully is dead, but should have died never should have been
listen,
a thing in
we'll
the first
never
place.
Ever die.
My God.
We'll never ever die, especially with things like Tubi now and other places you can really put stuff. The straight-to-TV movie will always be a thing, and that's good because people are still getting paid a lot of money from straight-to-TV movies.
I mean, one of the more heartbreaking moments, though, when and I don't know this by off the top of my name, but I have the list right here. Josh, the main character in Air Bud,
yeah.
When he's telling Buddy to leave, just go. He's crying, telling him to leave. God, that's one of those childhood moments that sticks with you. Heart wrenching. And then he does go, but then he comes back and they win the big game. And then he chooses Josh over the creepy ass clown.
Shocking. Yeah, who'd want to go home with the creepy ass clown?
What a twist that would have been.
Gotta be honest, haven't seen a lot of Air Bud movies. So, wouldn't really know. I saw the first basketball one. I was like, I think I'm...
You don't remember the creepy clown that tries to steal him?
The main antagonist was.
One time.
One time?
I've seen Air Bud one time.
One time?
He was getting busy, though.
That's probably all you needed.
Yeah, that was it.
No. That's it.
That came, Air Bud had to come out in like, what, 94, 95, something like that?
97.
97, wow. Okay, so
coming
definitely.
Coming up on 30 years of
I was
Air
trying
Bud.
To talk to girls at that point, so I wasn't really watching a lot of Air Bud.
Oh, you would have gotten more girls if you would have brought up Air Bud to them.
I know,
and you
want
to come over and watch Air Bud on VHS?
It's about a golden retriever. I'm sold.
Who plays basketball.
I'm sold. Golden retrievers.
You know, you really used to get the ladies.
I love
man.
Golden retrievers.
I have them come over like, out so people can come over. Couldn't go any further than the front room, though, which was a rule by the parents, which I respected, whatever. But, you know, have on Milo and Otis. Tugging at her heartstrings.
Homeward
Milo,
bound,
every single time.
Milo and Otis, man, that was, you want to talk about a movie watched 100 times.
I will watch that
household.
Today if it comes
oh,
on.
Oh, me too. Hilarious.
If it comes on, if I catch Milo and Otis, I will watch that today.
Questionable animal practices in that movie because I'm pretty sure it was made in Japan and there has been stories that came out like, and even when you watch it, like,
that snow scene when they're just walking through like a blizzard and stuff was like
they
yeah,
have
that
a
can't
pug
be.
Like battling like basically going up against a bear at one point and it's supposed to be kind of played off as this playful thing. It's like that bear could shred that pug anytime it wants.
And they use three pugs. No, I'm just kidding. But
I'm pretty sure like, there was something about that with the cats about Milo.
That's
and there's one
good.
Scene where Milo's getting like attacked by seagulls on like a sea cliff edge and he's trying to get away and then sure enough it just cuts to a cat leaping off of a cliff's edge into the ocean water below. Big ass jump. We're talking about like 80 feet up in there, 90 feet. And again, going back and watching that, you're like, that's pretty high up there into the ocean waters. I think that's where they lost one of the cats.
That's why they start putting those kind of disclaimers that no animals were harmed in the making of this film, you know, after that probably. So yeah, but I don't
but
I
absolute notice, classic movie.
Not gonna be ruined for me. I'm
oh
still
my
gonna
God.
Watch it. It's a great movie.
Just love it. The voiceover actor doing all the voices for all of the animals, just hilarious. But yeah, as an adult when you revisit that movie, not nearly as cute and adorable as oh and then
I don't know. Gotta see it. It's been a while.
And then what is it? Otis, the pug, he gets like his tail pinched by a crab at one point, and they like jeez. Actually have the dog get pinched by a crab. And they're like, oh, this is hilarious. This scene's great.
It came out as a great movie though.
It was standards back then.
Hey, 80% on Rotten Tomatoes, okay?
Hey, you gotta.
There we go.
I mean, the audience.
That's a solid movie.
The Google audience reviews, there's more one-star reviews and five-star reviews.
But it's probably PETA.
they probably flooded those reviews.
Probably right.
Great movie, though. Absolutely.
PETA's not going to let things slide when it comes to animals in their movies.
This movie that came out in 1964 is an abomination.
Seriously. I'm curious if there's anybody out there listening. Text into the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Have you seen Milo and Otis? Because I feel like that's one of those movies that is...
You've either seen it or he's like, what is Milo and Otis?
I've never heard of that in my life. Absolute classic. Staple in the Fisher household growing up. That and Wayne's World.
See? I mean, I think... Milo and Otis is one of the movies that transcends, you know, race and stuff like that because for way over in North Portland.
Hey, it brought a cat and dog together.
I mean way over in North Portland, you know, we enjoyed the same movie. And, you know, so it was pretty awesome movie. I got to check it out again, though.
All right. Let's get sports in, shall we? Dude, just an insane sports week.
Well,
I mean,
ish.
Yeah. I mean... When hockey is the leading, and rightfully so, it was the leading story this week. But you know that we're in that post-Super Bowl hangover when we do that hockey.
It is, but hockey all also took some shots at the NBA, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
PK Subban, hey. he
good
man.
Lord.
I don't know if we got the audio for that. But
I do. I pulled it for Sprague earlier this week. So
I mean, if you haven't heard that, maybe we can play that in the second hour at some point, because there are a couple things I wanted to get to in the first hour, including... A historic night at the Moda Center.
Ooh,
oh my God.
I was there, actually.
How about that?
Yeah,
celebrating
I was there
your birthday.
Historic night? Yes, sir.
Courtside seats?
No, although there
sweet.
Was there was a. No, I was up in the club, but you know.
Oh, no.
He got minutes, actually.
Jordan
got some minutes last night.
On the box score?
Who
yeah.
didn't play last night?
I did miss out on, there was a pair of courtside seats available for $175 each, which is, in courtside terms, cheaper than cheap.
I was going to say, that's really good.
Yeah, so I'm sad that I missed out on those, but another game. But there are courtside tickets for cheap. They are there.
Well, let's get to the historic night at the Mona Center last night. Who would have seen it coming? We get to that next. Sports Sunday, 10 in the Fin. Ah, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Free golf lessons, 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, getting it from the wrong guy. I think I told, I told you last week, I my golf game's been a mess, and I have been very determined to just get back to the grindstone. I think Instagram was listening to me because it seemed like 90%.
Instagram is the feds.
I think it 90% of my feed this week was just golf instructional videos. Like the silly cat videos, the cooking videos.
You typed in YouTube one time, like, oh, man, what am I going to correct my swing? And then all of a sudden.
I think it picked up that I, because the guy I went for my golf lessons 2 years ago over at X Golf in Tualatin, Andy Morris, go see him. He's great. I messaged him on Sunday. I'm like, bro, what time do you got? Send me a calendar. When are you available? I'm done trying to figure this out myself. I can't do it. Like, you know. And so I think Instagram picked up on that message that I sent him.
That's creepy.
And was like, dude, struggling with golf. Here's
stupid
some golf
AI stuff.
Here's some golf instructional videos. And boy, I'll tell you what. I am not the athlete that I used to be. That's for sure. It's been a lot of arms swinging lately, and I need to get more of that. That body, that turn, that torque in my hips. Yeah, exactly. I've been it's been a very humbling week. Was it Thursday? We had the final basketball practice, and it was parents versus kids in the final basketball practice.
Did the kids give it to y'all?
Oh, no. I mean, I'd say humbling, like, as if we lost. Absolutely not. That did not happen at all. I think one of the kids even got, like, pissed. He's like, they're actually trying. What the heck?
What
was like, well,
do
yeah,
you
dude.
To let you win?
I haven't been able to sleep all week waiting for this day.
Think about what I'm gonna do to these sixth graders.
Yeah. So we did that, and then yesterday, Friday, Joey, my boy, wanted to go to the rec center with his friend and get some shots up and play some basketball. And there were some eighth graders that were running 5-on-5. And then a few of them left, and so they asked me and Joey and his friend to play. And so I got to feel like the big man on the court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just
down low.
Oh, yeah.
Throw it.
Man.
Mouse in the house.
It's a feeling I'm not used to.
Joe's out there setting hard screens.
Kareem Abdul-Jajo.
Well, there was one play, like, I didn't even do it on purpose, but I went down low to, like, get a rebound, and me and one kid, like, collided, and I could hear him. He was like, oh.
And you're Carmelo Anthony. F out of here.
And then the play ended. He's like, oh,
give me the effing ball.
He's like, oh, my God. I'm like, all right, I'm not that big, for God's sakes.
Good,
like,
Lord, kid.
Yeah. But, man, those kids. There was one kid on the eighth grader where just a shifty, speedy little effort. Like, just, he had moves and could do everything. And I think after the first couple possessions of him trying to do that to me, I'm like, I'm not playing this game with you, kid.
No,
like,
you're not going to cross me over.
Yeah, exactly.
Not today.
Like, just, you know, do what you want to do. And if you want to drive and get a layup, good for you, you know. But it definitely made me realize, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not keeping pace with this kid at all.
Joe's boxing out hard and everything. I can see it.
Oh, man. I was getting animated. I'm telling you.
Slapping the backboard.
Oh, I'm not.
Tighten up, fellas.
Oh, dude. I, at one point, said to Joey, I'm like, cut! Cut! And his look on his face was like, oh, my God.
What are you doing?
Like, I'm still coaching you, kid.
I'm like, let's go. His buddy Declan is just jacking up threes, and I'm just like, come, yeah. Guys.
Drive to the hoop.
We're passing it once and then throwing up a shot. Let's go.
Set a screen.
Someone D him up.
Pick and roll.
Yeah.
And other people are looking like, look at this old dude out here.
Yeah.
Look at this old dude out here.
The favorite of mine was my dad's, put your hands up on defense, and there'd be five kids running with their hands just straight.
One of the kids said I look like Baker Mayfield, though. I've never got that before. That's definitely the beard, though.
See it a little bit.
Kids are weird. Not that you don't.
Definitely the beard.
It's just random.
So those two, and then as I was telling Rashad in the break, like, man, really, really working on that golf swing, and again, torquing those hips. Maybe I'm torquing. I don't know.
Maybe you should.
Yeah, maybe it would help, that flexibility.
It would never help.
But yeah, it's just
definitely
been
won't help.
Last 3 days, my dogs have been barking, as they say. Howling, I should say. It's like a pack of wolves down there.
Oh, what a hard time for privileged Joe over there. Taking golf lessons, his feet are hurting.
Ouch.
His hips are hurting from that torque into the golf swing.
To be fair, the golf lesson hasn't happened yet. I'm going in on Friday. We're going to work on some things.
Good Lord. So why are you hurting? Because of the basketball?
I'm an old rickety man now.
Stop. Playing eighth graders? Too much for you?
Yeah, playing eighth graders and sixth graders. And
Joe?
Yeah.
Stop it.
Might as well be 53.
Stop it.
I was going to ask y'all if you wanted to do the three-on-three tournament the Blazers usually do in the summer, but
absolutely
never mind.
Not.
It doesn't sound like you're up for it.
Well, there's mean, guys that are way
those
better
teams
than
are
me.
Super competitive,
I was
going to
say, that is not happening.
In the media bracket? No.
Oh, there's a media bracket?
Yes.
Sign us up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. That,
I was
going to say. No, they don't put us in the elite. They put us in the, it's like this media bracket. We're playing people from K2 and KGW.
Oh, sign us
all right?
Up.
Like,
now Marcus Greaves moved to Atlanta.
Hey.
We're good.
All right. Well, I'm the chubby guy off the bench. That's all I want to be. All right.
Yeah. Just staying in the corner and hit threes. That's the role.
How many
of the
on
chubby
teams?
White
so what's
guy.
A, so, and I'll be Chuck. I'll put my butt into somebody and get a rebound.
So what's the team? So wait, how many people on the team?
Four. Three on the court and then one bench guy.
Easy.
So I'm in. You guys are in. We need one more.
Will.
Yeah, exactly. Will Ertner, the tallest guy here.
Big. Play the post, Will.
Yep.
Just do your thing. We ain't gonna make you do much if you don't want to.
I know he's got those lineman knees.
That's why we're not going to make him do much.
Yeah.
Stand right here,
oh,
bro.
He has to, yeah. He's probably just going to body everybody around. You imagine him, like, up on anybody else in the media, he'll body the hell out of them.
All right, well, there goes the segment. Let's take a break. And
we'll be here for 2 hours. We're good.
We just
and this time, we will talk about the historic night at the Moda Center, I swear. But first, Jordan Schultz with a Sports Center update. A historic night at the Moda Center last night. Who would have thunk it? That this season, the Blazers were going to set a single game record for the biggest victory in franchise history.
Can you feel it?
53.
Can you feel it? I see you feel it in there, Jordan. Don't act like that.
53-point victory. Now, when I say against two, it makes a lot of sense because they're absolute dog water, as the kids say, against the Charlotte Hornets.
No, this
against,
isn't.
Against Yusuf Nurkic.
This isn't the step up to greatness that fans are hoping for. No.
Also, boy, you can tell the Hornets just got a big win against the Lakers here recently because they go and do that the very next game.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I didn't know if they played on Thursday or Friday. So, they did play on Thursday against the Nuggets. Sorry, I am not up to date on my my Nuggets schedule and what they've been doing lately. Or, excuse me, my Hornets schedule. But they come into the Moda Center last night, 141-88 victory for the Portland Trailblazers. My God, who saw this coming? Didn't they have one of their biggest losses in franchise history earlier this season? I'm pretty
something
sure they
like
did.
That.
They lost
by like 40-something to, I can't remember who that game was to.
I don't know, but it definitely happened
they
this
got
year.
Scraped, yeah.
So in this single season, you have had one of the worst losses in franchise history and one of the best wins in franchise history. If that's not a Blazer season for you, I don't know what is.
That's, you know, I'm not shocked.
Too good to be bad and too bad to be good.
I'm not shocked. The truth is the Blazers are a much better team than Charlotte is. You know, I
mean, they're good enough where they're above the dog water tier of the NBA and not good enough to really compete for a playoff spot or championship. And maybe you get a 10 seed in the play-on spot. Cool. But
I'll say this, man. This team was they were supposed to win 23 games all year. That was their threshold. That was the prediction from most of the experts. The Blazers are going to win 23 games for the year. They did that before the All-Star break. I think there's something to be said for that. This team is trying to do stuff. I understand how disappointed everybody is that you're not going to get Cooper Flagg. Like I'm as the guy that, you know, wants
I'm
the team
still
to
holding
be well,
out for our 4.5% chance.
There's still hope, right? You know what I'm saying? Cuz again, when the Blazers got Greg Oden, they were like not even
they
the
were
top
like
five.
The fifth, the, I think it was like fifth best odds.
Yeah, well, even still, like not the best odds, but not something that you'd be super, super excited about. It's all about how the ball bounces, right? How does those lottery balls end up bouncing? And if it bounces the Blazers' way, great. But for now, I think they should keep trying to play strong. They've got great players. They've got really good players. They've got four dudes that can get you 20 every night. Every night, if one guy's down, another guy, one of those other three guys will step up. And so last night you saw it. You saw Kamara is not one of those guys I'm talking about, but he can give you 20 if need be.
You know, you got to it, and I was going to mention it later in the segment, but, you know, in a time in the NBA where we complain about dudes not caring, not trying, it's a bad product, you know, et cetera, et cetera. If there is one player on this Blazers team
1,000% agree
that makes you motivated, makes you happy to watch the team, shows you that there is someone that does care, it's Tumani Kamara.
100%.
That dude, if he doesn't get first or second team all defensive MVP, I mean, that is just a downright abomination.
And the only reason they wouldn't give it to him is because he plays for
Portland and nobody right watches up here.
But the things he's doing defensively, you know, leading the league in charges taken, you know, all and having won every single game. You know, every game that he's played, at least especially during the streak and up until now, he's drawn a charge. Like, that's impressive. That's great defense. That's patience. Like, those are things that you can't teach, unfortunately. And I think that's the type of guy that Chauncey Billups really needs to kind of anchor this defense that he keeps preaching about wanting to kind of instill for the Blazers.
Well, it's funny that he said it's, you know, something you can't teach, because this is something that, you know, like with my son, I've said it with basketball. I remember a game earlier this year. I don't know who they were playing. I think it was Oklahoma City. And I was like, to Monte Kamara, I was like, watch him this entire game. I was like, don't watch anybody else but him. And he was just giving Shai Gilgeous-Alexander the business and just making it uncomfortable and making him, I mean, I'd have to go look back at the box score, but it wasn't one of his best nights. I mean,
I think he still had a solid game, but at the same time, it wasn't him going off for 30 something and grabbing, you know, 9 assists throughout the night. Like, it's, again, you said the main thing, making him uncomfortable. Like, there is one thing, every player in the NBA can get buckets, and leaving them unguarded, they're going to go to work.
Lamar Hurd had a great line on Tumani Kamara last night where he's like, you know, this is a guy that was kind of, you know, left in the shadows of the Phoenix Suns and in the trade package for Dame. Tumani Kamara is the shadow. Wherever you go, he goes. And I was like, ooh, that's a good nickname now, the shadow.
Yeah,
for Tumani Kamara.
I like it. Make it a thing.
But again, like, he's one of those guys, like, where you see a team like this with the Blazers as they move forward, who is a part of the future, the moving, like, who you want to see as an integral part of this team. He is on that list. Again, to me, it comes down to 5 players that I want to see just moving forward be a part of this team for the next 3, 4, 5 seasons. Tim, Scoot, Shaden, Denny Avdija. Wow, words.
Avdija.
Thank you.
It's okay.
Sometimes you switch the J with the D or the V.
Have you heard some of my
J
updates? It happens.
And Donovan Kling. And like, those 5 right there to me are like, I want
that's
those
what you build around.
That's your 5. That is, you know, and you add pieces, draft, you know, not free agency, trade. That's what you build this core on. And Tumani Kamara is, I mean, when has the Blazers had a player like this? This
Batum, I think, the last time. Like, Batum was probably the
I would say Kamara's offense, though.
It's better than Batum. No, because Batum could get buckets. He was just inconsistent.
I would say that as far as being able to run an offense, dish it out, have the ball in his hands, playmaking ability.
He was really
going
to point forward at
that
point.
You give it to Batum a little bit more. But, I mean, to me, Kamara can go and get a bucket. He can drop. I mean, he had a dunk last night where he looked like Shaden going up.
He's had a few of those in the season. I know the last game was a loss, but he caught a lob. I was like, ooh, that's a great catch.
I believe the term that was coined by the late Brian Wheeler, not just boom shakalaka, he turned it into Batum shakalaka on a couple of different occasions. I remember a couple of good dunks by Batum. Yeah. And I don't think he could go off on like points-wise like Tumani has on any particular night, but he filled up the stat sheet, and he did all the things that you needed to do to help the team in ways that you don't really see in the box score. Yeah. He was a really good defender. You go watch Nick Batum in his early days, he was giving the guys the business on defense, and he was the one that basically always, if you remember, Batum, he's guarding the best offensive player on the opposite team, regardless. It was always his assignment, and he handled it perfectly back in the day. Tumani, maybe even a step above that. And what was he, like an early second-round pick?
Yeah.
Well, and traded in that thing with the Lillard deal?
And what the thing with Kamara, though, is that, like, maybe the Batum's defense was great, but Kamara just is he's the Energizer Bunny, man. Yeah. He just keeps going and going and going. And, again, this is something I was referencing when, like, talking to my son, is that when my son plays basketball, is that he's very methodical, and he thinks a lot. And which is in basketball, like, you can't really do that. Like, you got to just go, and then it's on to the next thing. And you can't really have a second to be like, okay, I just did this, now I needed to do this. Like, there are some kids, and really it's one of those that you can't teach. It's some of them are just wired that way. And players, and Tumani Kamara is where it's just like, I'm going to hound you and hound you and hound you, and I'm going to be in your kitchen and in your back pocket the entire time. You are not going to go anywhere without me being right up on you. I don't care what you're doing, what the case of the game is. If we're down 20-30, if we're up 20-30, you are going to be in fits all night.
And those are the type of guys that can anchor championship contenders. When you have a guy like that, that can...
In 3 to 4 years.
Well, I'm not, obviously not today, but as you talk about those, you know, those five players and everything, if the Blazers are able to build around this young talent that it does have, and let's be real, the Blazers do have a lot of young talent, and if they're able to keep these guys together for a little bit. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with Simons and everything like that. He's been here for a long time, but Simons is one of them dudes, like, he's a guaranteed bucket. Like, it's when it leaves his fingers, like, I almost... There's not a time where I don't believe that it's going in. Even if it's going to, he misses. I'm okay with them shooting that three-pointer. Reminds me a lot of Dame, that sidestep that he has. Like, they practice that a lot.
Well, that's something he's added in, and that's, I forget what the coach is that Dame had, his shooting coach, and oh my God, Phil something rather. Phil Beckner, I believe.
Sure.
He's a coach in the NBA that specifically works with guys on shooting. And
okay.
He's Dame's shooting coach, one of his trainers. And like Simons, when he throws up that shot, it's like, you must be hanging out with this dude and must be coaching him, because that is almost dead similar to that Dame, like you said, sidestep shot and throw up a three.
It's confident. And so we're not sure what's going to happen with Simons. But even if you took Simons out of that, and I'm knocking on wood here because I don't want to see that happen, but even if you took him out of the equation, like, you still have a Scoot Henderson, you still have Tamani Kamara, you still have Shaedon Sharpe. Like, and Shaedon, there's some Kobe in him. Like, when I'm looking at him, I see young Kobe, like, number eight with the fro. Like,
that's when the Blazers have the ball.
No, when
unfortunately,
they ball,
when they
like,
are on defense, he looks a little bit more like Luka.
And I think that's and I think honestly, I think that's something you can. Defense is nothing but
it's effort.
It's energy and effort. That's really
it's
all
effort
it is.
And give,
you know,
an F.
Yeah, it's for real. That's all you have to do. It's just energy
and
effort.
Anthony doesn't give an F, so at least on the defensive side.
There's a lot of dudes in the NBA that don't get. Again, this is why I like watching Tamani Kamara as a basketball fan, as someone who wants to see the NBA succeed and get back to the perception of guys, quote-unquote, giving an F. Like, is that dude clearly cares. And that guy, like, when you see someone that cares... who's another player? Jose Alvarado, right? Like, there's a guy that you hate to play against, but you want on your team. Because you, yeah, exactly. He's a gnat. The Pat Beverleys of the world.
Matthew Dellavedova.
Mm-hmm.
Annoying, but he will just give you the
Tony Allen, you know, certain guys, it's just like, man, you want them on your team. And I guess what? Every team that has one of those guys usually is one of the better teams defensively in the league. Like, because it's infectious, right? You know what I'm saying? When you have a Draymond Green on your team that's willing to pick up everything and have that energy and even kick some people in the balls if he has to, like, it makes the rest of your team feel like, you know what? Yeah, I can kick somebody in their balls too. Let's go. Like, and so I think that's the type of infectious play that you need if you plan to be a successful team. I think the Blazers have a lot of the right stuff in place. It's just, I think next year will be that maturation year where they're actually considered one of the teams that people should be threatened by in the league.
Well, out of curiosity, I went and pulled up the NBA draft lottery history of teams that won it. And I wanted to talk about some of the teams that were able to win the lottery with the same or worse chances that the Blazers currently have. Because right now the Blazers have the ninth worst record in the NBA, which puts them at around 4.5% of getting the number one overall
pick. There's a chance.
Well, there's a better chance of them winning the lottery than winning a championship, Rashad. I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
Don't say you didn't say that.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think because both of them are not going to happen. And so that's why I'm like, it doesn't really matter how we do it. Even if we get the second pick, it's still not the number one pick that we're all looking for. I understand, but I get it.
All right, let's take a look at this list of teams who got the number one overall pick with less than a 4.5% chance and who they ended up taking in that draft as well with the number one overall pick. We'll get to that next year. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. So the Blazers currently with the ninth best odds of getting the number one overall pick. That is 4.5%. If we take a look at history, there is a few teams. One, two, three, four, five, six. Six teams that have had worse odds than that that ended up with the number one overall pick.
And we're talking like, what, 80 plus drafts or so that are being measured here? So
80? I mean, they've been doing the lottery since what, 80 something? I mean, so we're talking about like 40, 50 of them.
Okay.
I mean, when did they start the lottery? It was in like 87?
So can I ask a question before we start?
Question.
I don't know. No, you can't.
Please? Jeez.
I say the nay.
Yeah, 1985, Joe.
Are we going to assume that all of these drafts were on the up and up? There was no collusion.
Well,
let's just give the assumption that they are.
We all know about the whole frozen envelope thing
David Stern said that was bullsh. So
I mean, that's pretty hilarious though. Freezing an envelope.
I know.
And it wasn't wet.
So that way he knows it's like, cold. Like, oh, that one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just digging around. He did dig around for a while. You go look at the video. It looked like he was looking for an envelope. I think
this
that's
is when conspiracy
theories
are
fun. Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I'm just curious though. Like, I mean, but
so you said six times, and that would be out of
one,
a total
two,
40.
Three, four, five, six. Yes, six
out of 40 possible draft lotteries.
We don't think there was any collusion with LeBron being drafted to Cleveland.
I mean,
Cleveland
do wonder
from
about that
Ohio.
Kind of crap.
Like, there was no.
You know, that just laid out perfectly. Like the gods smiled upon LeBron and Cleveland for that.
I mean, part of me says, like, I think that people are going to watch LeBron regardless of where he went.
Yeah, but the hometown thing for Cleveland, which was desperately looking for some type of anything, like, it just, I don't know. That seemed almost too good to be
true. But this
keep going, though.
This kind of goes along the lines of, like, people having the NFL conspiracies for Kansas City. Like, who gives an F about Cleveland? Like, why would it be like, man, you know who we really need to make a good franchise in the NBA and have really rise them up?
Cleveland. Really cold-ass winners.
You know what, NFL team? You know, of all these years, guys, we've been doing the NFL, I think it's time to do Kansas City a solid. I think we should just start making some calls and doing things for them. You know, tell the refs. Throw some rogue pass interference,
especially
roughing the passer.
When we're looking
Kansas
at history.
Kansas City deserves it.
Yeah, when you're looking at history, mind you, the reps were never as blatant until this year.
Let's
just be honest.
Let's get all 31 owners, all 30 governors in a room, and be like, hey, guys, so we're letting Kansas City run things.
We've
for the next
never
few, right,
complained
years,
about
right?
referees as much as we have this year for this one particular team.
Dude, welcome to sports. I think the only, again, hockey's having a moment. I feel like their refs are the only ones that don't catch any flack. Umps are getting replaced by robots. NBA refs are getting berated every night. I mean, no player in NBA history has ever committed a foul. Did you know that?
Well, let's just be real. Hockey is the only one doing it right now. If we're keeping it 100, man, hockey is the only sport, which is the one, it's crazy because it's the one that nobody really watches here, especially, you know, probably here in the Northwest, but.
Whoa!
We don't watch a lot of hockey. We love our Winter Hawks here in Portland. We don't watch a lot of hockey here. Like, we know that. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to a bar and just seen hockey games on. Like, not a lot.
Well, you're going to the wrong bars,
I suppose.
All right, get to this list. Damn it, List Radio. People love it.
15% chance. So hopefully this happens.
4.5% chance that the Blazers get the number one overall pick. I will say on this list, the first team that had had odds closest to that, right above the 4.5%, was 5.3%, and that was the Portland Trail Blazers with Greg Oden.
Mm. Oh,
they had the sixth worst record in the league, so that gave them a 5.3% chance of the number one pick, and they got it.
I still remember that. That was the feeling of that happening was nuts.
That was one of the best days I've ever had as a sports fan.
Which is kind of sad for all of us.
No, for real. I mean,
no, you're right.
We got the pick. It was who
thing.
We were able to pick with that pick. It wasn't just that we got him, that we got that pick. It was we're going to get one of the two, at that time, we thought generational talents that we will have ever seen until we would get a Wimby or something.
Okay, so in the year 2000. The New Jersey Nets had a 4.4% chance at the number one overall pick. Oh. They got it, and who did they select? Do you remember?
What year?
2000.
New Jersey Nets selected Kenyon Martin.
That is correct. Right after that, and this is should be one of the easier ones to guess because it literally happened just last year, the Atlanta Hawks had a 3% chance of winning the number one overall pick, which they did, and they took the Frenchman Zachary Rissache. In 2011, that was technically the Clippers got the pick, but it was conveyed to the Cleveland Cavaliers. 2.8% chance, and yes, it was Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. That was in 2011. 2014 was the Cleveland Cavaliers. 1.7% chance. No, it was not Anthony Bennett.
Is that what it was? Oh, was that that was Andrew Wiggins?
That is correct. That was Andrew Wiggins, who was later traded to Minnesota in that Kevin Love trade. And in 2008, the Chicago Bulls with a 1.7% chance. See, this is, you know, it's funny looking at that in history, because the Cavaliers in 2014, Bulls in 2008, they had the ninth.
Who did the Bulls get?
They had the ninth worst records, just like the Blazers do now, but they only had a 1.7% chance. So the Blazers' odds now are 4.5, which is about 2.5 times.
It's because of the tanking that they're trying to combat. They evened it up on the top three.
But again, just seeing that, like, this point, you know, 10 years ago, it was only 1.7% and 4.5. I'll definitely take that 4.5.
If Cooper Flagg was from Portland, then
he's from Maine.
Not the right Portland.
He's close to Portland, Maine.
Not the right one. Yeah, but if he was from Portland, Oregon, he would be playing for the Trailblazers. Because who did the Chicago draft in 2008?
Yeah.
Who they
are? And who was Portland one number away from getting in 2008 as well? Because I don't know if y'all remember, but the year after they drafted Greg Oden, Kevin Pritchard told the story about being in the lottery room, and the Blazers got the first three numbers, and everyone was sitting there being like, is this really going to happen? Is Portland going to get lightning struck twice again? And it didn't.
And they would have gotten Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
With that 2008.
Where's Derrick Rose from?
Portland.
Yeah, right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, when you have a generational talent like that, this happens to be from a city like that. Like, that's a built-in story in its own. So yeah,
I agree with you.
I do think there is some collusion somewhere. I don't think it happens all the time, but when you have a Derrick Rose, when you have a LeBron James, when you have these guys from, and they suck enough, their teams suck enough to be able to be in that lottery conversation. Yeah, I fully expect them to be drafted there.
And the team that had the worst,
don't let New York have another good player sometime soon.
The team with the worst probability of all time in the NBA draft to get the number one overall pick, 1993. This was the Orlando Magic, which had to be conveyed to Golden State.
Chris Webber.
And yes, it was Chris Webber. That was a 1.52%.
What a trade. What a draft trade. Chris Webber for Penny?
I know, right? Like, nobody lost in that deal.
Oh, speaking of Penny Hardaway, Tim Hardaway, do you see...
he's been in the news.
Yeah, you see the beef with him and
Tyrese Halliburton?
Oh, my God.
I love it.
And did you see the possible reason why he has that beef?
I did not.
Did Tyrese steal a girl from him or something?
Not Tyrese. No, it was actually Eddie Jones. So,
whoa.
You stole a girl from Eddie Jones?
Like, yeah. Back in the old NBA days, so Eddie Jones.
We're going on a tangent here. I'm trying to find the tweet. Okay, so this was Tim Hardaway Sr. said on Gilbert Arenas' show recently. He's like, if I could go back and suit up, I want to go F up Tyrese Halliburton. He talks so much S. I want to go back and bust his mother effing A. My God.
Whoa.
Potty mouth. He think he all that. And then one of the top replies was, for people that don't know, Tim Hardaway was on the 2000 Miami Heat squad with Tyrese Halliburton's cousin, Eddie Jones. Eddie Jones invited the wife of Hardaway to his Miami high-rise condo and slept with her. I'm not going to read the next part.
And Tyrese Halliburton, I remember saying, tell him why you're really mad.
Yes, and that was Tyrese's response to that. He's like, there's another reason for this. Tell him why you're upset, Tim. So, yeah, how about that? Fun little...
And I love Tim Hardaway.
Fun little NBA old school veteran small. Versus current player beef right now.
I love Tim Hardaway, but he's too small for Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese would shoot over him. Tim Hardaway was quick. You know what I mean? And he was great. Get to the basket, no problem. Thick little point guard, but
I don't think they're talking about battling it on the court right now.
Oh no, not at all. That I would probably give to Tim Hardaway.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So yeah, Scrappy goes to the Hardaway from the '90s, right?
So the Blazers, they have a chance. I'm not holding out hope. because it's because also wanted to get to this maybe at some point, maybe in the next hour. There's a team in the NBA where it's I feel resigned to the fact, because this is one of my worst fandom sports years that I can remember, that there's a team in the NBA where it's they're going to win the championship, and that's just how my life is going. And I want to also get in the second hour a veteran quarterback that is possibly going to be on the move, and some other stuff to fill out hour number two. We'll find out what that other stuff is. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz behind the glass. Sports Sunday, 10 of the family.
Dude. 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 I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
You think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
If I get your friend, I'll pass out on the floor now, baby. You won't bother me no more.
Hour number two, Sports Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan. You can catch hour number one wherever you get your podcast, or you can go back and watch it later on YouTube. Or you can use the Odyssey app, which I highly encourage you do, because the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest is almost over. Which, if you're listening to 1080 The Fan via radio, just do it via the app.
Right.
Do some little registration, right? Log in. Listen to the 1080 The Fan or any participating station, any sports station from Odyssey on there. Listen each day for a minimum of an hour, and that's your daily entry. The winner, that's a travel for four, you and three guests. You get to go to Vegas for 5 nights, ooh, stay at the Circa Resort, ooh, which Rashad gives a ringing endorsement to.
100%.
Premium sports viewing destination.
The Long Bar.
And home of the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim.
Boom.
Mingling it up with some singles at March Madness.
Hey, or some couples.
Listen.
Oh, upside down pineapple life, huh?
Hey, if you're into it.
Let's go.
Especially in Vegas.
Rashad's
right?
Into it. What was the place you went to a few weeks ago?
Oh, well, we don't have to talk about that, but... yeah, I don't know if I'm with the pineapple stuff, though. I'm gonna be honest. You gotta be real.
No, but this place does look legit. Just to get back to seriousness, like, oh my God, I want to go there.
They have
right
this
now.
The thing called the Long Bar. So as soon as you walk in, it's like the, like, say it's the longest bar in Vegas, but it's super, super tight. Like,
well, you'll have plenty of money to spend if you win this contest. You get $5,000 for each of you. To fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball championship. Contest ends today. So, I mean, I could be saying this and it's already over, but my guess is that this is the last day.
And I'm not eligible.
Right? No. Well,
nor are your family members.
Well, I mean, I just kind of work here, though.
Yeah, but you get paid by Odyssey, and that's good enough for them to disqualify you.
Oh, my gosh.
You get a check. So... I'm sure you get $5,000 over the course of the year.
Yeah. Something like that.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess listen to us for one more hour or do something for by the end of the day, and you'll get one more entry. For more info, go to 1080thefan.com. Speaking of March Madness, also keep listening to 1080 The Fan throughout this week, because I believe you're going to be hearing some details about some March Madness stuff related to 1080 The Fan. I don't know if that's something I can delve into, but if you connect the dots with 1080 The Fan and March Madness and what we've done the last couple of years, I think you might have an idea of what's going to be going down again.
I think we just had a little voicer on the update about it. So,
well, I hope so, yeah. Because then I can really spoil the details. We should confirm that. Gosh, what was I also going to say here about something maybe March Madness related or I don't know. Regardless, whatever.
The announcement on the end of my update was about the March Madness at Aylin A Sportsbook on the 23rd.
Perfect. Yeah, Fan Madness is going to be back at Aylin A. The 20th and 21st,
yes,
I believe?
Yes, sir. Thursday, Friday of March, that third week.
I do not hit up the casino too often, but that is the Friday is when we get the team together and go up there. We take the little party bus up there.
I've never been invited.
Well, there's definitely emails that are sent out. So, I mean, you
I don't
can
get
join.
Those. I can show you. I don't get those.
Well, come through. Show up.
Shoot.
Pull up. Come on.
Might have to.
Let's go. Come on, Richard. We'll gamble together.
Friday the 21st, we'll be taking a party bus from this very location up to Aylin A. We'll be joining Danny and Dusty and Isaac and Suk. And actually, they'll be there Thursday. But Friday, Dirt and Sprague will be there as well. It's going to be an all-day 1080 The Fan affair on Friday of the first round of March Madness.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Honestly, I never really get to go because I work like a normal job, like not a cool one like this one, but I work. Well, it's pretty cool, but
I've been meaning to schedule those days off for years, and it always just like kind of comes around, and I don't. But the last couple of years, we've gone up on the Friday to go and do this, and so I don't really need to schedule the Friday. We work until like 10:30, and then it's like, all right, everybody get loaded up on the bus. We're leaving in a half hour, so it turns into a work day.
I'll meet y'all there.
Think I gotta pray that. Swag isn't gone, like calling the women's pilots in an NCAA tournament action game or something like that. So I love the pilots, but I think this year, please don't make the tournament.
Well, let's hope they do, because then we could get another great swag call moment for drops.
That's true.
I pray that happens. I hope we get a moment where we get a here's a situation, it's over, we think. I mean, come on. That was audio gold. Speaking of audio gold, I don't know if you saw last night the NHL commentator that got hit with the puck on the sideline.
No.
The sideline guy.
No.
Yes. Ouch. He was over
is
by
he
the
alive?
Benches. Yeah, I think he's alive.
Where'd he get hit?
In the face. Like the forehead or something like that.
Here's the situation.
Bang, right in the forehead.
We might have to pull the audio for that or find that somewhere. And we're going to have to bleep something because he let it know on air how much that hurt.
Absolutely.
How could you know?
After he regained consciousness, I'm sure he did.
It was so great because I think that everybody that was listening to that game or watching that game and heard him say it and was like, oh my God, why did he say, oh, he got hit by a puck? Okay, he gets a pass on that.
I think even the FCC would be like, nah, we're not going to say
we got
anything.
A couple complaints, but we're not going to do anything because, yeah, I probably would have said the same
Ouch.
Thing.
Ouch. Slap shot to the face. Like, nobody wants that.
Yeah, no, not at all. And nobody wants the Lakers to win another championship, but they're probably going to. I'm kind of, after what I saw last night and what Luka did and them beating the Nuggets, I mean, the Nuggets had won, what, like 9 straight games or something
yeah,
like
they
that?
They were down. They were bound to drop one.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, that's 9. Ohio State won the championship this year. Philadelphia Eagles won the championship this year. So it'd only be right that another team that I hate most in this world wins a championship, and that's going to be the Los Angeles Lakers.
There were a lot of Laker fans in attendance the other night. It's
a
really frustrating.
Jumping
it's really frustrating mofos. To see like the Lakers score and the crowd erupt.
Are Lakers?
Like, what's happening right now?
Are Laker fans the worst bandwagon fans?
I mean, I was talking
about, I feel like
all sports.
I'm going all sports here, yeah.
I was talking about this on Dirt and Sprague this week. There was, like, I think it came out a month ago, a survey. So I don't know how many people were surveyed, but NBA 2K, their My Career Mode, yeah, they did kind of a survey from state to state of who you start with as, like, the team.
What team you choose,
yeah. By state in My Career Mode, of course. You know, the Blazers won out in Oregon. But, like, the Lakers, almost all over the United States won. Even in Texas over the Dallas Mavericks, the Lakers were chosen more to start their career mode than the Mavericks.
It's for a couple
reasons.
It's for a couple reasons. One, if you play 2K, I know Joe, you do. When you start your my
Dude,
career,
I stop playing.
Like 2K. You got to have somebody else, especially if you play on like on
that game's a grift.
Anything above All Star, then you're going to need some other players on your team to do something. Usually when you have a LeBron, like, it makes it easy for you to win and get more VC and blah, blah, blah. So that's probably why a lot of folks do it. LeBron, is you throw him a lob, he's going to catch
that's
it.
True.
Like, that's just kind of one of those things on 2K. My go-to player for 2K was always Carmelo Anthony. I'll become a point guard, get Carmelo, pass him the ball, press X. He's going to shoot.
You know, it's sad. I'm looking at this map right now, Schulte, that you referenced. Yeah, actually, Oregon, it's Lakers.
Yeah.
Washington, Texas, Lakers. Florida, Lakers.
Oregon's Lakers? I thought that the Blazers were on there.
There's literally, I'm trying to find here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've been doing a lot of counting in this segment. I apologize. That's great for radio. It looks like there is maybe 10 states that aren't the Lakers. And
what are they? Knicks?
I was going to say,
can I guess?
5 or 6 of those are Northeast states that all go for the Celtics.
Oh,
so
well, geez,
see, this,
okay.
I'm looking at the one from 2K25, and it says the Blazers are Oregon's. So I don't know which one you're looking at.
I mean, it's literally from the NBA 2K Twitter account. So,
Are you looking at last year's or
no?
Oh, no. That's play now. You're looking at play now. I've got my career mode up.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So play now, which makes sense, which is just you set down. You and I could play each other and just whatever.
And this is for everybody out there that plays 2K and you play Madden. Listen,
there's
up.
Some 65-year-old man if listening right now. Only, like, what the hell are these guys talking about?
They might play. Listen, I play online with people. I play online with people all the time, all ages, and I can tell.
Hey,
by
buddy.
I can tell by
the
way they curse
the
at
paint.
Me. I can tell by the way they curse at me that they're a little bit older
and white.
Dagnummit. Like, okay, you're 70, but. Man, you almost made me forget where I was going to go. If you are going to play 2K, if you're going to play Madden, it doesn't mean you're dope because you play with the Lakers and win, or you play with the Celtics and win, or you go ahead and pick the best team on, or you play with the Chiefs and you run through people. That doesn't make you good at the game. It means you can play with the best team on there. It means you have Steph Curry and the Warriors. I remember when Steph was running through the league, that's the only team people used to play with. And I was like, you're not cold because you get Steph Curry and shoot all the threes and they go in. That doesn't mean that you're nice at the game.
Sounds like playing against my son. He would always have these stipulations. He'd be like, okay, you have to play with one of the three worst teams, and I get to play with one of the three best teams.
See? No. Boo.
That still whacks.
Now, what we can do, we can go random. Like, we can go random, and if you get the Lakers, then cool. I have to get a team that's adjacent to that. So, I mean, if you get the Lakers, then cool. I can get the Celtics, or I can get something like that, something with firepower. But, like, if you get the Lakers, I'm not getting the Hornets. For what? No. So I can get smashed in this game? No, thank you.
Well, I am resigned to the fact that the Lakers are going to win the NBA championship now.
Luka still can't play defense. That's still a big thing. So whoever's guarding him is going to, or whoever he's guarding is going to cook, because we see it all the time. We saw it in the finals. We really saw it in the Western Conference finals. He just can't guard anybody, but he's a hell of a scorer. So that's that. But yeah, I still don't think the Lakers have quite enough, if that sounds weird. Defensively, I just don't think that they're
supposed to be. No, they don't, Rashad, and that should make it so they don't win it, but they're going to. Yeah. I'm just, again, I have no hope.
I don't think they can beat Boston.
Quite frankly, I don't think they could beat the Thunder. I think the Thunder are deeper. But they're going to.
I don't think they can. I don't think they could beat
Denver. They'll
sweep them. I don't think they'll beat Denver like that. I mean, they
had literally just beat Denver like that last night.
For the first time since 2022. Like, I'm saying, during the regular season, this is the first time they've been able to beat these fools in the regular season. They had to get Luka to do it. So I understand, but I don't know. I still think that they're a defensive piece away from them being where they're supposed to be.
Well, depending on what sports book you look at, they have anywhere between the 4th to 6th best odds to win the NBA championship at this point.
Can I guess what three teams are above them?
Sure.
I can't see. My eyes aren't that great.
Oh, okay.
I would assume Boston.
Boston has the best odds.
Milwaukee?
No.
No. Okay. So I'll say
Cleveland.
Boston.
Cleveland is up there. They have the third best odds.
And Denver.
Denver is anywhere between the 4th and 6th best odds. I mean, you're forgetting one team that I literally just said like 30 seconds ago.
The Knicks? The Lakers?
Come on.
No,
the Knicks are one of the teams that have good odds as well. They have like the 4th, 5th best odds. The Oklahoma City Thunder.
OKC. Okay.
The Thunder have the best odds of any Western Conference team right now. They
do all the right things. Jalen Williams has turned into, he's an all-star and a legit all-star at that. A great, good two-way player. You got Shea, who's a great two-way player. You got Chet finally coming back, who can guard the rim. Hartenstein. quietly he's been like a godsend for them since Chet was hurt that whole time, and they still just been just rolling away. Like the Thunder is a team that I would pick to come out of the West this year, and I would love to see the Thunder versus Boston in the finals. I think that would be dope.
I saw this text on the Vancouver Road text line, and it I feel like this is a good one that people that play 2K against each other would do. You hit random
there it is.
Twice or three times.
And tell me when to stop, either one.
Well, and you choose one of those teams. But if you hit random a fourth time, you have to play with that team. So you get to choose between the three teams you hit random on in 2K. But if you don't like any of those, you do get a fourth one that you can go for. But you have to play with them.
Well, I do that. But I say if after that fourth one, you still get that, you can go to either one of those four teams that you picked before.
No,
you passed on all these teams. These are the four teams you get to choose from. Pick whichever one you think is the best.
No, it's fun. It adds a little bit more into it. It's like, all right, well, those are your three teams. You can go for a fourth, but you got to play with them.
What if you get one of the three teams you already drew?
Oh, then you just go again.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. I was like, okay, as long as that stipulation's there, then I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, you just go again.
I'll let them choose from those four bad teams. I'm not going to make you play with the Hornets.
Well, the Lakers are going to win the NBA championship this year. One team in the West is not going to win the championship. Rough week for this team. We get to that next year. Sports Sunday, 10 to the Fan. I lost my my mic condom. Let me get that real quick.
Uh-oh.
I go wrong.
Popping off.
Gotta
say something. Talk.
Can you
hear
us?
A couple seconds.
Yes. Joe is dealing with some stuff right now.
Prophylactic issues. Pay no attention
while we're stalling for time.
That was a fun Blazers game to go to last night, that historic 53-point win.
Hey, when you get the one-offs and it's like, you know what, they may not be the best team in the NBA, but I guess we'll go to a game tonight, and then it pops off like that, it's a fun night.
I mean, like, by the end of the first half, it was, what, 74-30-something? It was bad, and my wife and I at that point was like, right, let's just go grab some food, grab a couple more drinks, and... Then quickly got a couple more in before last call. It was a pretty fun night. So, and for a team that I'm not too in on
right now. Wait, did you get the drinks at the Moda Center? Or?
We pre-gamed, and I actually was forced to kind of like get most of mine there because I had to work the Ducks baseball game here, and it was a 19-11 final that was an over four-hour game. Not usually how that goes.
Oh my God.
God, college baseball is so slow. It's not the Ducks' problem. They just, like, when runners are on base, they still don't have a pitch clock, which I'm just like, are you freaking serious right now?
Well, there's just more offense and... College baseball, and
just haven't cared about shortening that. But anyways, I digress. But I was forced into drinking those expensive drinks at the Moda, but still fun. And it's not a team I'm in on right now. I'm still mad at my Blazers for trading Dame, but I was entertained by my local team. So, yay. There you go.
Entertain me!
When you love something, you let it go. That's what we do with Dame.
Shut
go
up.
Be free. go win your championship, bro.
We said in the last segment, I said that the Lakers are going to win the championship. A team that is not going to win the championship anymore because they are now without their best player and also the best coach of all time. That's the San Antonio Spurs. Rough week for the city of San Antonio. I mean, it came out of nowhere on, what was it, Thursday or Friday?
Thursday.
That Victor Wembanyama, he's got blood clots in his shoulder.
Man,
which that's, I feel like,
scary.
A weird place to get blood clots.
Scary.
Like, yeah, I mean,
anywhere, it's a common NBA player problem, unfortunately.
Anywhere is a weird place and a bad place to get blood clots, man. So hopefully
it just sounds bad.
Yeah, no, it doesn't sound great. It doesn't sound great.
And I don't know if you guys heard. I mean, it's not just the rest of the season. When you take the drug that you have to be on to fix this, it's a minimum of 6 months. You cannot go like contact with anybody for 6 full months. So we're talking barely before the start of training camp is when he'll be able to start like playing
lifting
people again.
And doing
exactly.
That, yeah.
Well, whatever the drug is, make sure he doesn't get it from whoever Bobby Portis got his drugs from. Just make sure of that. Don't want any mix-ups.
I think it was Bobby Portis's assistant. So.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's a different assistant. But yeah, so Victor Wembanyama is out for the year now, which sucks for the Spurs because they just traded for De'Aaron Fox a couple weeks ago, and we're hoping that this was going to be the new iteration of the Spurs. Why do you say that?
For the Blazers? Like, I mean, if you're really looking for them to move forward, just get San Antonio just right up out the way.
Oh, that's right.
If you're the Blazers, then you're looking at this differently.
You want them to win a championship.
If you're a human, you're like, damn, that, you know, that sucks.
Now the Blazers are going to have even worse odds. Rashad, I hope you're happy.
Hey, man. Can't be mad about something I wasn't getting anyway.
Rashad on record happy that Victor Wembanyama has blood clots.
Not true. Not at all true. Speedy recovery, Victor.
Yes. Clip out any words or anything that might, you know, make it seem better for Rashad if he could. But wow, Rashad, real nice guy. But then yesterday the news comes out that Greg Popovich, he's probably going to be done for the season and really could be done coaching altogether. I mean, I felt like I had heard something earlier this year that he had a mild stroke, and that was back in November. He's been dealing with that, which is very unfortunate. And he is not expected back this season, and he could be done. I mean, this would suck. Very unceremonious departure for Greg Popovich, literally one of the best, if not the best, NBA coaches of all time. Like, that's a dude you want to talk about, you know, the whole farewell tours that players and coaches do. That's a guy that deserves one.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that would suck if he is not able to come. I mean, I don't know what his status is. I mean, no one's seen him since November, really.
I mean, he's 76, and he signed an extension at the age of, like, 74.
I would hope that if they get together as a family and make a decision that he comes back for one game at the end of the year, maybe their last home game, if it's, you know, game 81 or 82, when usually nobody's actually playing that game seriously anyways, unless it's for, you know, playoff positioning or whatever, that he is able to coach or at least be on the sideline, you know, at least have that. Because, yeah, I mean, it would just suck to have this be the end of Greg Popovich. You know, totally understand the health aspect of it, and if it's over, it's over. But it would just be an unfortunate way for his coaching career to come to an end.
One of the greatest, like you said, arguably the greatest coach, you know, in basketball's history. Only Phil Jackson is the person that rivals him. Now, people can say, you know, throw in the, I forget who's, Casey Jones and some other people that have won multiple championships as head coaches, Pat Riley's and all that jazz.
I was gonna say, of all coaches that you go to, Casey Jones.
He won a bunch with the Celtics, did he not? Am I on a tripper? But yeah, in the '80s and stuff like that. Is that wrong? Like, so, you look at those guys, very few of them have birthed as many great coaches as Greg Popovich has. Just even guys like Monty Williams, who's a good coach, Mike Brown, who's a good coach, Becky Hammon, who's a trailblazer. But then you throw in championship coaches like Steve Kerr and Mike Budenholzer. And, you know, these are guys that sat on the bench with Greg Popovich and just picked his brain. Like, what do you do? And to be able to cultivate talent like David Robinson and Tim Duncan and Tony Parker, Ginobili, make these guys into superstar players. And really, none of them are flashy. None of them have, like, games that jump out at you. He just always preached playing the right way. One of those coaches that always stood up for human rights and civil rights and wasn't afraid to speak about issues that I think most white coaches and – well, excuse me, not most, but a lot of white coaches and a lot of white owners wouldn't do. And Popovich would be willing to stand on the front lines for people. Like, he's not just a great coach, but and he's funny. How many sideline interviews did we get? You know, post game interviews or
that dry
halftime,
humor.
That dry humor, stuff like him and Craig Sager and those things like that. Like, he's one of the all time great personalities as well. You know, coming from the bench, so Greg Popovich deserves all of his flowers for everything that he's, you know, accomplished in basketball. And it does suck. You're right, Joe. It does suck that he's not able to finish this season out as the, you know, as the head coach and just really see where his team, you know, could potentially go, which is, we don't think they're going really anywhere. But like you mentioned, you get De'Aaron Fox and then you pair him with Wimby and you pair him with some of those other guys that are, you know, kind of big parts of that San Antonio team. You got a team that could be a championship squad or at least a contender over the next couple of years.
I mean, this really sucks, but let me just say the thing that I don't think is being said here. Like, this is a guy that's in his 70s, and this is the terrible, unfortunate side of, you know, these things of aging men and women in their positions of prominence that I don't think anybody's going to accuse the Spurs of keeping him in too long. I think he's one of the best coaches just in general in NBA history, but he's one of the best developers of talent in NBA history. And even if they're not getting wins on the court, he's still able to have an impact on a Victor Wembanyama. And just having his presence in the building, I think, is worth whatever contract they decided to give him. But this is the bad side of things, unfortunately, an aging man like this. And if something happens, I don't know if they had a plan in place, if they thought Pop was ageless, but you got to wonder, you know, if there was a discussion about something like this happening when they gave Popovich the extension. And I hope, like you guys said, they handle it well. If his future is super uncertain, if they want to just bring him back for a game, put him on, you know, the bench for a nice recognition, and if he can't get a farewell tour, something like that. But this is just... this is the really crappy side of things, and it sucks to have to talk about this, but you kind of wonder, and I think there were whispers about this when the contract was signed. It's like, well, how long is he actually going to last? And you wonder what they're going to do in this situation. It really sucks.
Five-time NBA champion, three-time coach of the year, 21 straight seasons in the playoffs, most wins in NBA history for a head coach. Yeah, again, I would love to see at least him get to the bench, you know, one more time, you know, one of the last games of the year, maybe last home game of the year. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Greg Popovich, absolute legend. Hope we get to see him at least one more time. From an NBA champion head coach to an NFL champion quarterback, we get to that next year, Sports Sunday on 10 of the Fan. But first, Jordan Schultz with a SportsCenter update. Talked about an NBA winning champion head coach in Greg Popovich. Now, while this guy hasn't won five NFL championships, he is also a champion himself, but he could be looking for a new home. That is Jordan Schultz's starting quarterback of the LA Rams, Matthew Stafford. Because that's what
I see what you did there.
Yeah, that's right. I'm funny.
We are recent winners of a Super Bowl.
Tell us a joke, Sinbad.
So.
How about this airline food?
He is definitely aging, but as a winner of a Super Bowl recently, doesn't really ruffle my skirt too much. They got to reset sometime, right?
Hey, you got what you needed out of him. You got a Super Bowl. Dear God, what I would do for my Cowboys to win a Super Bowl. Ungodly things. And yeah, I mean, the Rams were already kind of talking about it, and there was whispers they needed to restructure the contract. I mean, he wanted to get paid more. They were concerned about his age and if he was going to be start breaking down here soon, which he is 37,
36, go almost 37,
something like that. And I think by the time the season starts, he will be 37.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, in the Rams came out the other day, they gave him permission to seek a trade.
So, yeah, agent is currently assessing his market value, I think the quote was, which you love to hear that kind of stuff.
Well,
it's like an insurance company talking.
I want to say we brought this up last week, too. You go and look at the quarterbacks that are available via free agency this year. Woof. It is outside of Sam Darnold, which, again, if, you know, Sam
also
Darnold,
kind of woof.
Sam Darnold had a great year, but if he is the, you know, key name, the top name of the quarterback free agency class, then... you got some issues. You got some. You have some dudes out there that are not starting material that are looking for jobs. And you know, again, like I say that really, no team should be in the Aaron Rodgers business. But I would not be shocked if someone went 1 year deal with him.
The market calls for it at this point.
Yeah, because there's teams that need a quarterback. There's teams that have talent that feel like they might be a quarterback away. I just am very scared of the past 40-year-old quarterback who is, I'm not going to go as far to say a locker room cancer, but let's say a
locker room cancer. I don't think there's any, I think that's fair for who we're talking about.
I just think there are also some situations that we brought up last week where it's like the Raiders. Like if you're Pete Carroll trying to build a culture and rebuild a team, I think a quick way to lose a locker room. Now, there might be some guys in the locker room like, dude, hell yeah, I'll play with Aaron Rodgers. But I think it's a great way for your message to get lost, to be like, hey, let's rebuild up this Vegas team and our culture and on accountability and tough, hard-nosed defense and running the ball. And here's Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I think it's funny because I think if there were any situation that Aaron Rodgers could be okay and would be a Raiders, because you'd have a veteran head coach like a Pete Carroll. Like, I feel like a Robert Saleh wasn't quite prepared to deal with an Aaron Rodgers type of personality. But when you have a guy that's dealt with the Marshawn Lynch personality, when you have a guy that's dealt with, you know, a I don't know. It's even like a
Mr. Unlimited.
A Mr. Unlimited personality. When you have somebody that's dealt with a Richard Sherman and their type of personalities, like, I think somebody like that's a little bit.
Percy Harvin, if you will.
Yeah, no, seriously. Like, you've got guys that have been considered maybe a little much by a lot of people.
Well, and they say, and like, think, NFL head coaching is, you know, isn't so much coaching, it's roster management, it's knowing how to
manage personalities.
Personality, yeah,
you know, exactly. And so I think Pete Carroll, being an older coach, would be able to kind of navigate that a little bit easier than a younger coach, especially a coach that's still kind of struggling to find their identity. You can kind of push them around a little bit. Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be able to come into a Pete Carroll situation and start calling shots.
But to go back to Matt Stafford, again, there's going to be teams that are interested. It's just a matter of, like, how much are they willing to give up, if they're willing to give him a few extra years on his deal and give him, you know, until age 40.
Well, and the Rams are going to need at least a first-round pick. I would say at this point, especially with the market looking at the way that it is, and a second, or a first and a third or fourth, like, at the minimum.
I don't know. I'm not trying to figure out why Matt Stafford is trying to, unless the Rams are actively trying to shop you, like, your defense was better than I think we all thought it could be, especially when you lose an Aaron Donald up front. Like, nobody was expecting that defense to be that good without that guy anymore. And they were still pretty good this year. You don't get hit a whole lot. Like, as far as you look at the quarterback sacked, he's sacked 23 times in the season, which is 22nd in the league. So he's on the way bottom second half of quarterbacks that are getting sacked all the time. So it's not like you have a bad offensive line. You got pretty okay weapons as far as receivers to throw to for now. We're not sure what's going to happen with Cooper Kupp
anything.
That Cooper Kupp is gone, but I'm sure they'll probably figure out a way to get him in. Like, what situation are you going to go to out that's better than what you have at the Rams?
Well, this is a couple different books have posted odds of next team right now, but granted, this was actually before the news came out about him being able to seek a trade. But Vikings plus 300, I could totally see that happening with Kevin O'Connell and him.
Yeah,
really good pairing if you're going to go for, because I'm pretty sure Kevin O'Connell is also from the Sean McVay coaching tree. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Vikings at plus 300. I think the Rams, him going back, have the best odds. But as far as other teams, Giants plus 400, Raiders plus 500, Colts plus 600. This according to Sports Betting AG. So, yeah, I mean, and that, you know, opens up the question that if the Vikings end up trading for Matthew Stafford, it's, you know, where does Sam Darnold end up? I know there's been a lot of talk about him and possibly the Las Vegas Raiders, him getting paired up with Chip Kelly. In Las Vegas?
Obviously we saw how well Chip Kelly's offense worked at Ohio State. So can he bring – and honestly, when Chip Kelly first got to the league, he was pretty good.
Well, and also not just, you know, Ohio State, but, I mean, a quarterback in Will Howard, which good at Kansas State, great at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does help when you have the weapons that you have.
Right.
You have two NFL-caliber receivers, two NFL-caliber running backs, and probably like five-caliber offensive linemen. So, I mean, when you have that much talent around, it makes your job a hell of a lot easier. But, yeah, I mean, it's just intriguing to see what's going to happen with Matthew Stafford, where he ends up, if he ends up going back to the Rams. The biggest thing, though, is and the biggest gripe with the Rams is, you know, we don't really want to pay you any more than we're paying you.
Yeah.
You're getting older.
And that'd be my issue with the Vikings, because they just moved on from Kirk Cousins for that same reason. Like, man, you're getting older. You got hurt. We don't really know if we want to.
Granted, torn Achilles.
Yeah, no, I understand. He got hurt and everything.
37-year-old Matt Stafford.
But a torn Achilles on a 37-year-old was like, yeah, we're going to, you know. So Matt Stafford's one injury away from, at least with the Vikings, to being.
Well, Kirk Cousins is what, like 32?
No.
31?
No, Kirk Cousins is also 37, but I...
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's close. Up, yeah.
Kirk Cousins is not 37.
Kirk Cousins is 36. He
Holy
turns 37
hell.
On August 16th this season, so he will be 37 going into this next NFL season.
So with the Vikings...
I feel like Matt Stafford and Kirk Cousins were drafted like 8 years apart for some reason.
That's funny. No, not really. Kirk Cousins was just under the radar, and then all of a sudden after
RG3
Robert
was the guy.
Failed...
We forget Kirk Cousins.
They handed
it took him,
to
what, 3 years to get on the field?
Actually, because there was a couple other people in between that they handed it to, and it wasn't successful. As far as Matt Stafford and the Rams go, I feel like this is a situation where the Rams are okay with resetting, because as we all know, the NFL is unlike any other league in sports where every single team has the same amount of money to work with. You can't pay every single guy on your roster, and I guess the Rams don't want to pay a 36, 37-year-old quarterback at the rate of about $40 million, and that was a deal that they had renegotiated with Stafford last season, basically, to give him a good salary for this last year, and then kind of renegotiate and then reassess here at this point. And it sounds like they're giving him the freedom to do so, because in that renegotiation, he gave up guarantees for this year. So it's both parties, it seems like, trying to be respectful, trying to help each other out. And as a Rams fan, I don't mind if they move on. I expect he'll end up in Minnesota. I would be shocked if a team like Cleveland wanted to trade for an aging quarterback like that. I just don't see, outside of like three teams, maybe the Saints, because it's indoors, because he's on turf, and maybe Kellen Moore will want, you know, a nice veteran quarterback to lead a new draft pick for a couple of years. I don't see many fits outside of maybe two or three teams in the NFL outside of the Rams.
Man, I'm just flummoxed over here that, Stafford and Cousins were drafted 3 years apart, but Cousins drafted at the age of 24 and Matt Stafford drafted at the age of 21. How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. I mean, even with the salary cap being raised, I don't know if the Saints are going to be able to afford him, because the Saints have literally one of the worst cap situations in the NFL.
And that's a good point, Joe. Like, who's going to be willing to pay? And I think that's the main thing. Like, when you talk about Sam Darnold,
by the way, Derek Carr's cap hit next season is like 65, 70
million. They're getting rid of his ass.
Yeah.
He gone.
I don't think they can, because they have to pay him. I mean, the dead cap, I'll look it up, but it's something ridiculous.
He doesn't have like a roster bonus coming that they can get out of?
Bro, I'm telling you, I think it's one of those, like, they have to ride this out at least one more year. It's that bad.
There's a reason the Raiders were so willing to be like, yes, fine. They're fleecing everything.
His cap hit this year is $51 million. Dead cap would be $50 million.
I saw a report 2 days ago that said the Saints will release $150 million star, not trade him.
Then they're going to have to take on 50 mil of dead cap. Again, if you roll with him one more year, that dead cap goes down to 28 million. So, I mean, I would just grin and bear through this season and suck and maybe get a number one overall draft pick for next year.
Well, here's another thing. You just bring that up. Now Derek Carr seems like he's going to be on the market once he's released. Like, what do you do?
And he'll be at the league minimum most likely, or closer to that, because it sounds like he's got guaranteed money coming to him. So it'll be a Russ Wilson situation.
I still think he can play. I just think hasn't had, you know, awesome situations over the last couple of years, but I still think he can play.
Well, you can technically still play. Is it just playing good?
No, I think he can play good. I think it really depends on the situation you're in. Situation is super, super important.
Intrigued to see what happens with Matt Stafford, and really what some of these teams that need a quarterback. I mean, there is, you know, two questions will be answered at the draft that, you know, some teams that need a quarterback, one of them is going to get Cam Ward, one of them is going to get Shador Sanders. It's just a matter of,
hopefully the Patriots lined up with, neither one of those, but hopefully somebody makes a mistake.
And doesn't take Travis Hunter in those first three picks.
Travis Hunter falls to four. That's the plan.
Like I said, man, if, you know, Myles Garrett ends up getting traded and they need an edge rusher, don't be surprised if the Browns end up going with Abdul Carter.
Would not be shocked.
But, man, that'd be quite the risk if you go with him over Travis Hunter. And, you know, we'll see how that ends up in 5-6 years. Cam Ward also giving a warning to NFL teams last week about not drafting him or passing on him, that he'll remember.
Oh, God. I mean, I like the confidence, actually, and I guess that's better than wanting to try to pick your own destination. So, like, if I had to hear something out of any of these kids, I'd pick that.
Well, it always, you know, it cracks me up, because you're right. It's confidence. You know, you want to have the belief that you're going to do great things. But it always it reminds me of when Josh Rosen got drafted.
Uh-huh.
And he's on the phone with either I don't know who the GM or coach was of the Cardinals, but he's like, we're going to win so many effing Super Bowls.
Are we? Are we?
Make them all pay, coach.
Yeah, I wonder if Jamarcus Russell, how people would have taken that if he said that coming out. Like, I'll remember. You better draft me.
Well, you better remember to watch film, buddy.
Yeah, I thought the movie was good.
Where's that $100 bill?
Yeah, I like the game plan.
Yeah, blank tape.
Think I can do that.
Yeah.
All right, wrap the show up next here. Sports Sunday, 10 of the Fan. All right, wrapping things up here on Sports Sunday. I'm going to do a little PSA here for a certain gal on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I was just talking to Rashad about her. We have the game on here in the studio. They're losing to NC State 80-79. But Notre Dame, number one team in the country. Yada, yada. There's a girl on Notre Dame, Olivia Miles. And I just became familiar with her game earlier this week. She throws passes like Jason Williams-esque, like comes off the pick and roll and yee, like throws it across the court, has you looking one way, she's looking one way, and then whoo, right down to the post.
Flip later. It's so quick.
Oh, my God. It is one of those. It's just beautiful basketball. It is. There's I tweeted it out the other day at JoeFish3, F-I-S-C-H. And it's like a minute compilation of her doing this. And it's just the smoothest, silkiest thing I've ever seen. And there's something about it. Like, there's a certain Jason Williams highlight compilation that I like to go to maybe, you know, twice a year just to go back and watch
these. That's what Joe watched before he played those eighth graders.
Getting hyped up.
Put shoes on, watching it on YouTube.
Just headphones now on in the gym.
Now I understand it.
Joey, what is your dad doing over there?
He's getting in the zone.
But, I mean, this is, you know, I've shown Joey this video, too, because I've told him, man, I was like, dude, if you are a good passer and you make some sick passes like this, like, that is just as cool as getting a shot up. That is just
as cool. An assist is 2 points, man.
An assist
is 2 points.
Oh, my God. And luckily, it's somewhat stuck with Joey. Like, he's got some passes sometimes where he just, like, fires that thing in there. And has like a little window and sees just an opening big enough where he's like, I can get that in there.
Point guard.
And he just throws that thing in there. And I love players that can have that eye and that knowledge of being able to pull defenders in and know that they have someone open on the wing or something somewhere and are able to pull that move, man. It is clean. It's one of my favorites. March Madness, close approaching, my man.
Yeah, it's on its way.
Men's and women's.
I got to start really paying attention because honestly, college basketball, it's hard for me to consume. It's kind of sloppy. And it's
chaotic, but I love the chaos.
Yeah,
man.
It's hard to watch sometimes. It's just like a lot going on.
Well, and quite frankly, it's more basketball than what the NBA is doing right now.
Oh,
it's,
for sure.
It's much more structured. It's
the NBA is a 48-minute 3-point contest. Like, yeah. I don't want to watch that at all.
Speaking of actually like 3 points contests, I mean, to say that the NBA is doing that, I think there was a game last night in the West Coast Conference, the Jason Swigard Conference. What was it on Saturday or it was something the other night? It was Santa Clara though. And they were just jacking up threes. I got to find this. It was against Wazoo. They won against Wazoo 109-79, Santa Clara did. And they made 23 three-pointers. I mean, out of 38. 23 for 38 from the field, shooting threes. I mean, oh my God.
But yeah, I get it. That's not fun, though.
Well, it is fun.
But they win, so I mean, what can you say?
When they're dropping like that, though, that's got to make you feel good. I mean, 23 of 38. Can you imagine if your team was just going off like that, though?
Oh yeah. Now, like
just
I said,
nobody can miss.
Or if that was the way the Blazers played, I would love it. You know, 23. Yes, absolutely. Best team in the league. I love this type of basketball. You know, but yeah, it's not fun when you're on the losing end of it.
Also, someone on the Vancouver text line. This could be. They feel like luck is going to strike for you, Rashad. They say Abdul Carter over Travis Hunter. Hunter is good, but a pass rusher holds so much more value. That means that, yeah, man, in the mock drafts I look at, there's a few of them that has him going number two to the Browns. You go Cam Ward one, you go Abdul Carter two, Shedeur Sanders three, Travis Hunter four.
And Travis Hunter is awesome because we don't really know what we need if we're the Patriots right now.
We need a lot.
We need a lot of stuff. And I think Travis Hunter covers a lot of stuff. We need special teams. We need corners. We need receivers. Go ahead. Choose which one you want Travis Hunter to play.
Well, I am curious because with the salary cap going up, how much room the Patriots are going to have to spend. So this number says 125. I don't know if this is...
We don't have anybody. We don't have anybody that costs money.
I don't know if this is with the new cap or the raising it, but I mean, Patriots, you guys, you're going to have some money to spend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you're not paying anybody, then you got tons of dough to throw around. So we'll see.
All right. That does it for us here on this Sunday. We are getting very close, though, to one of the best months on the sports calendar. I'd say that March is up there. You get it's baseball about to start. You're in March Madness. NBA playoff race is starting to heat up a little bit. It's the best non-football month on the sports calendar.
I would agree.
You get some draft stuff starting to come out. It'll be a good time. Good time. As Notre Dame hits a three-pointer as the clock expires to tie the game and to send it to overtime. How about those Lady Fighting Irish?
Hey, man, this game is cracking if you're not watching
it. It's not March, but the madness is beginning. NC State fans are shook.
I'm feeling the mania.
All right, Rashad, appreciate you as always.
My man.
Jordan Schultz, appreciate you as always.
Love you guys. Love everybody out there.
And I appreciate everybody out there that is listening on this Sunday. We will catch you next week at 9 a.m. right here on 1080 The Fan. Peace.